from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, the bodies of three Israeli teenagers missing since June 12th were found Monday close to the West Bank city of Hebron. Israel suspects two members of Hamas, but they remain at large in spite of the arrest of over 400 Palestinians. And Hamas has denied involvement in the abduction and killing, which has heightened tensions between Israel and a new Palestinian unity government backed by Hamas. We'll discuss it. Then at 9:30, the Islamist militant group ISIS declared Sunday that it is establishing a caliphate or Islamic state within the territories it controls in Iraq and Syria. The word is evocative of the rise of Islam during the Middle Ages. We'll discuss ISIS' latest move and how it might have impact on the entire region. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. The search in Israel for three Jewish teens who went missing earlier this month ended yesterday with the discovery by Israeli authorities of their bodies in a shallow grave in a semi-mountainous area in the West Bank northwest of the city of Hebron. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu blamed the radical Islamist group Hamas for the deaths and vowed retribution. The three, Eyal Yefrach, Gilad Shar, and Naftali Frankel, who was an American citizen, were all students at a religious school who were thought to have been hitchhiking. The funerals of the three young men will take place today. On the Friday before yesterday's discovery, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian teenager in the occupied West Bank and arrested 25 people in what they described as a crackdown against Islamic militants, which included house-to-house searches. Ultimately, more than 400 Palestinians were arrested, while five were killed in fighting with Israeli troops. After rockets were fired at Israel, Israel also carried out airstrikes against militant targets. Since the three teens first disappeared, hundreds of Palestinians have been detained, and Israel staged overnight air raids on Hamas targets in Gaza in response to a wave of missile attacks launched on Sunday from Gaza. Since in April, I ought to mention here also, Hamas signed a unity agreement with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who has condemned the murders of the three teenagers. Joining us to discuss the ongoing crisis this morning, Andy David, Consul General for Israel, serving the Pacific Northwest region. Consul General, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning.
Sad for the country, and I know the grief that it's going through, and condolences to you and as a diplomatic representative of your country and your country. I'd like to begin, though, by asking you about the response. Prime Minister Netanyahu has said Hamas will pay, and to some extent already carrying out these raids and houses search to search, the things I mentioned. There's going to be a security meeting later today. Does payment mean more against Hamas?
Well, I think the answer is that this must go unanswered. And the reason for that is because tomorrow they may kidnap three more children. So a country must defend itself, every country.
But one would assume that, particularly because of the exchange of prisoners in the Gilad Sharif, holding him for years, that maybe they would have done something along those lines, because Hamas did not claim credit for this.
Well, Hamas didn't claim credit because I guess they miscalculated. Those kids were murdered immediately after their kidnapping. The idea was to bury them, and then they have time to negotiate a deal. What happened is that they miscalculated because the reaction, both in the Israeli public but also in the Palestinian Authority, was not what they expected. And therefore, it didn't pay off to immediately admit that they did it.
So there is certainty that these killers who have been named are operatives for Hamas as opposed to being some other wing of Hamas or a more extremist part of Hamas?
Well, of course, Hamas is Hamas. There are no rogue operatives of Hamas. It's all controlled. It's a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy there. And the leaders of Hamas, like Khaled Mashal, spoke openly on Al Jazeera and praised the kidnappers. He blessed them. So what else do we need as a proof?
And this is perhaps a demand. It's not perhaps a demand. It is a demand coming from Israel for the Palestinian Authority to end its alliance with Hamas, which came about back in April.
It's true. The Palestinian Authority has created a unity government with a terrorist organization which is not just recognized by Israel as a terrorist organization, but by the United States, Canada, Japan, the European Union, Australia. This is a murderous organization bound to the destruction of Israel and killing every Jew wherever he is. We are all targets. So this organization, when you put it into your government and you create the atmosphere that allows them to feel more openly able to act, they act. And this is what happened. The kidnapping was direct result of their increased self-confidence.
Andy David with us in studio is Consul General for Israel. He serves the Pacific Northwest region on behalf of the Israeli government. Diana Bhutu is a human rights attorney, former legal advisor to the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, Chairman Mahmoud Abbas, and Palestinian negotiators. And Diana Bhutu, welcome. You're on forum. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
And I should say you are in Palestine. And what is the response officially of the government in terms of this demand by Israel that the Palestinian Authority essentially dislodge itself or join itself from Hamas?
There hasn't yet been an official response. They are going to be meeting this evening, but I don't anticipate that they're going to actually to end this unity government. It's not in Palestinian interest to end the unity government. To the contrary, it's only Israel that's been demanding that this unity government be ended, and it's been demanding this based on very specious charges and specious evidence. And instead, what the Israelis have been doing is putting the Palestinians under collective punishment, besieging certain areas. They've already killed more than 10 Palestinians. They've demolished the homes of people who were merely suspected without charge, without trial. So I don't anticipate that the government is going to somehow say that it's time to end Palestinian interests and instead simply accept what Israel has said as truthful, rather than actually questioning what Israel has been saying and doing and demanding that Israel be held to account for its collective punishment.
Well, when you say specious evidence, are you speaking about Israeli intelligence that these Hamas operatives, as Israel has been naming them, are indeed operatives of Hamas, those who are named for responsibility of killing these three young men?
For me to say, I don't have any evidence. The Israeli government has simply been sending out these claims time and again, but this hasn't been at all tested before a court of law. And instead, rather than testing it before a court of law, these people have already been tried. They've already been convicted in the court of public opinion, and their houses have already been demolished. If we actually believe in a system of justice, then we shouldn't be going around simply making these allegations without any clear proof, without any clear evidence, and given the fact that Hamas has already indicated that they weren't behind it. At the end of the day, what needs to be done is that people need to be looking at the evidence as evidence. This is why Palestinians have been calling for an independent investigation. And rather than holding Palestinians, all Palestinians, to account for the actions, perhaps, of some, what it should be doing is simply looking into what exactly happened. And instead, all Palestinians have been held under the system of collective punishment. More than 34 bombs were dropped on Gaza last night. Gaza is in no way connected to the West Bank. This is the type of collective punishment that I'm talking about.
Let me get a response from the Consul General. The collective punishment, the blowing up or exploding of homes of those under suspicion. Actually, this has been condemned also by Mahmoud Abbas, who said that he was in sympathy with the loss of these three young men and that the Palestinian Authority actually sent forces to help look for the victims. So help us sort this out in terms of what Diana Bhutu is saying about collective punishment.
There's no collective punishment. I'm sorry. You may have your own opinions, but you cannot have your own set of facts. There is no collective punishment. This is a search for kidnapped teenagers. That was the idea. That was the thought. Those who were arrested were members of Hamas. Hamas is a poisonous snake. The Palestinian Authority brought this poisonous snake, once before into their home. That was back in 2007 in Gaza. It ended up with 118 Fatah members killed, people thrown off rooftops, and resulted at the end with the dissolution of the unity government at that time. You are repeating this mistake again, and it's blowing up in your faces. Please do not hold Israel responsible for the violence of Hamas.
But again, if you, for example, blow up the home, and this was done back in 2005, I think this is the first time it's been done, when you have somebody under suspicion and you blow up the home of the family.
No home was blown up again. Please, the facts are different.
That's incorrect.
There was a military operation around those homes. The homes were not blown up. They might be blown up in the future, but they were not so far.
You have different facts, Diana Bhutto?
Absolutely. The house was blown up yesterday. And in addition to these so-called people who are affiliated with Hamas, we're talking about a nine-year-old who was killed today, a nine-year-old girl who was killed today. I don't hear anybody condemning her murder. Another 15-year-old boy who was also killed, and a boy who was also under the age of 15. These are the people who've been killed by Israel over the course of the past 3 weeks without anybody condemning their deaths or saying that this is indicative of the Israeli government as a whole, which itself is a very right-wing government, which itself has never recognized Palestine's right to exist. In fact, there are members who openly call for the removal of Palestinians from their homes. So if we're going to move forward, and this is what I think that we should be talking about, is how to move forward, the first step is that there has to be an acknowledgement of collective punishment. And this is precisely what's gone on, from houses being destroyed, to houses being searched, to children being killed, to entire places being put under siege, the Gaza Strip being bombed. And from that, we have to begin to implement law and look towards the future of ensuring that human rights is actually protected rather than violated.
Well, in the wake of what's happened and Hamas talking about the gates of hell being opened and Israel taking the actions it has and meeting today, by the way, in a security meeting to think of further actions, one could not be that hopeful about the peace process under Secretary Kerry or its moving forward. But I'd like to hear from you, our listeners, and get your thoughts and get your sentiments and certainly get your questions as well to either of our guests. We're talking with Andy David, Consul General for Israel, and Diana Bhutto, a human rights attorney and former legal advisor to the Palestinian Liberation Organization. We do welcome your involvement in the program. You can dial in now, whether you're listening on radio, Sirius Satellite, on the internet. Our toll-free number is available to you, and we do welcome your calls. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, join us toll-free at 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org or post any questions or comments onto our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And you can also, of course, communicate with us by tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum. Sean writes online, arresting 400 of the oppressed class to find three missing people of the privileged class is something only seen in horribly oppressive regimes. Another listener, Gabriel, writes, neither Hamas nor the PLO wants to take responsibility for the murders, so the Israeli government should take no responsibility whatever for whatever Israeli individuals might do in response. Just these two responses show us how polarized things are and how extreme things are on the continuum, unfortunately. Andy David?
Yes. Well, but we should remember the facts. The Israeli government does recognize the right of the Palestinians to self-determination. Our plan is the two-state solution. This is the only plan that the Israeli government has. Let's not confuse the facts. That's number one. Number two, I'm not going to be starting a race here of who's a bigger victim. This whole affair started with the kidnapping and murdering of three Israelis. That's how it started. You cannot describe it as it all started when the other guy hit back. It doesn't work like that. The Israeli government has to defend its citizens and will do whatever we can. If the Palestinian Authority cannot rein Hamas, they will not stop them, we will do it ourselves.
I wonder, Diana Bhutto, just to go off on another tack for a moment, there has been, and I asked the Consul General this, some suggestion that these two young men who have been named as suspects in the murder of the three teenagers, that they may represent a wing of Hamas or an extreme wing that wants to sabotage agreements or wreak chaos. In fact, there's even been suggestions that they may be tied to Iran. Can I get you to comment on those?
I really don't know, but at the end of the day, you can't tie them to the entirety of the Palestinian people, and therefore this collective punishment has got to stop. Beyond that, I think it's important for us to remember that what's gone on since and before all of this is that just today – The Israelis indicated that the appropriate response to the killing of these three Israelis would be to build more and more Israeli settlements and to deny the freedom of more Palestinians. This has been their response.
I believe, in fact, there is a plan. Maybe I can get the Consul General to comment. Isn't there a plan to build a settlement in their name already that's gone forward?
There's no plan like that. These are things that you hear and read on websites or news. There's no plan like that. The cabinet, the Israeli cabinet, is still sitting, is still negotiating and still debating what will be the proper action after this horrific incident.
Do you have information to the contrary, Diana Buda?
Is that he that the consul general seems to deny all the statements that the government that he represents is actually making, and yet and says that these are just somehow statements. And yet, if it were the opposite, if it were somebody in Hamas saying the exact same thing, then it would be somehow attributed to the whole. These are statements that they have made, and in the past, this has been the Israeli modus operandi. Every time that there is an announcement of peace or there is some form of violence, the one constant that has been the building and expansion of Israeli settlements. We're now in a situation where there are nearly 700,000 Israeli settlers who are living illegally in the West Bank. And this is the very reason that there is no peace in the Middle East today.
All right, let's hear from our listeners, and we'll go first to Rich in Pacifica. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. You know, I've been listening to everybody on the panel, and I think we all understand and agree that this has been going on for such a long time. One of the things that has to stop is violence, lobbing missiles into Israel, and Israel's, you know, very, how would you say that, like, unrelenting, I guess, response to these missiles and to people that are being killed. And we all know that there's faults on both sides, but the missiles and the fighting, that has to stop first. And if Hamas and the other influences in the region don't stop pushing, Israel will continue to defend itself, and there's really no good outcome.
Well, there was a ceasefire, and in effect, that ceasefire is over now, Andy David?
In the last month, even before the kidnapping of those three teenagers, 80 rockets were fired from Gaza into Israeli cities. This is an area controlled by the government of Hamas. 80 rockets. What government will sit idle and do nothing to protect its own citizens? Not the U.S. government, for sure. This is the situation, and this is what we have to deal with. Now, there are many slogans saying it's all about the occupation. Well, Mrs. Buttu, you've been an advisor to the Fatah movement, to the Palestinian Authority. This is an organization. The Fatah was established before 1967, before there were any settlements, bent on the destruction of Israel. The settlements is an excuse. We know how to remove settlements. We did that from Gaza. We did that from the north part of Samaria. And all we got in response were more rockets and more fire. This is the axis of chaos that we're dealing with in the Middle East, from Iraq, from ISIS in Iraq to Boko Haram in Africa, and Hamas is in the middle. The Palestinian Authority has made a pact with the axis of chaos, and this is the result. We will have to defend ourselves, and if the fire stops, if the rocket stops, if the kidnapping stops, we are the first one to give our hand for peace.
Could I get a comment from you, Diana Buttu, especially on the rockets that have been fired in light of the ceasefire?
Yes, I'm happy to respond to all of it. I'm going to leave aside the personal statements that he's made against me, which I will deal with at a different time. But what I do want to say is that when it comes to the issue of what's going on, one thing that we have never seen is that Israel actually end its military occupation. We have never seen that. Instead, as he's talking about these missiles, I can tell you that over the course of the past 13 years, a Palestinian child has been killed on average every third day. This is the statistics that we are living under, which is constant Israeli bombardment, constant Israeli siege. And in exchange, what the Israelis are saying is that these rockets are so deadly, yet they're the ones who've been firing rockets at Palestinians. And Israel is a military, it's a nuclear power. This is actually a country versus a dispossessed people. The Palestinians in the past have actually stopped violence, but every time violence stops, the next trigger is always a form of Israeli violence. We've seen this time and again, and the only formula for this to end is to actually address the root causes, which is Israel's denial of freedom to millions of Palestinians. Once the occupation is addressed and the denial of freedom is addressed, I think you'll see a very different Middle East.
Right,
so provided that Israel continues to have this same mentality, not even calling it the West Bank, but calling it Samaria, we will never see a resolution.
I want to bring in more callers, and let me go to Ahmed next. Ahmed, you're on.
Hi, my name's Ahmed. I'm from Gaza and living in Pacifica. I just had a quick two comments. The first was regarding the gentleman's comments that there's no collective punishment in Gaza, and my family's actually experiencing that firsthand. They have nothing to do with Hamas. They, like hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza, are experiencing shortages of water, electricity, medical supplies, sewer waters all over, thanks to the Israeli blockade. So it's really important to keep that in mind. The other point is that maybe if the and this is with regards to the settlements in the West Bank, maybe if the settlements weren't there to begin with on Palestinian land, we wouldn't have such issues. And I feel like that point is being lost. Talking about the incident, and while it is, any loss of life is certainly sad, I really would like us to go back to the conversation about settlements and settlement activity, which has been condemned by Secretary Kerry and other U.S. officials. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. Can I get you on the record on the settlements, Consul General?
Yes, of course. In 2010, in an attempt to revive the peace process, a 10-month freeze was declared for the first time by a right-wing government in Israel. No left-wing government in Israel ever did that, but the right-wing government did. The result of this 10-month freeze was zero. Refusal to negotiate with Israel. On the last month of this 10-month period, Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, came and said, well, we need another period. We need more time. He wasted 9 months doing nothing. Listen, it's not about the settlements. This is an excuse. This dispute started 100 years ago. There were no settlements 100 years ago. It's about acknowledging the right of Jews to be there or not to be there.
We got a response from Diana Butto, but I want to actually read some emails that are coming in here. David writes, I'm so sick of this conflict. Both parties have radical leadership that actively prevents peace. The Palestinians use terrorism, and the Israelis continue with settlements and abusing human rights. I'm a Jewish American, and I do not support Israel any more than I support the Palestinians. Ben writes, though I am sad for these young men, I have to point out how the Israelis are terrorizing the Palestinians. Also, why is Hamas saying that they didn't do it? That's not their M.O. Maybe this is just a hate crime. Dropping bombs on random Palestinians only fuels the fire. When will Israel learn? For over 70 years, they make the same mistakes. And John says, when will Hamas recognize Israel's right to exist? And Kia writes, the Israelis have killed more innocent Palestinians searching for these three boys. Why isn't the media addressing that? And Diana Budu, response from you on the settlement.
Yes, in regard to the settlements, what he's talking about was a 10-month partial freeze, which actually resulted in more Israeli settlers living in the West Bank rather than fewer Israeli settlers living in the West Bank. And what's interesting is that when negotiations actually did end up kick-starting, we actually saw the highest rate of Israeli settlement growth of any period in Israel's history. So what Israel has always and consistently said is, whether you sit down with us or you don't sit down with us, whether you negotiate or don't negotiate, the one constant is always going to be settlements. And this is the very reason why there is no peace in the Middle East. When Israel begins to recognize that it is not above the law and that the Palestinians are not beneath the law, we will have peace.
But all right, we'll have to leave it there. We're coming up on a break here. And thank you, Diana Budu. Diana Budu is a human rights attorney, former legal advisor to the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Andy David is consul general for Israel, serving the Pacific Northwest region. It's a related story. When we come back, we're going to talk about ISIS declaring itself a caliphate. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.